Now, when was the last time that you waited for somebody to return and the wait went longer than you thought it would go? I remember being a kid and being in a panic, pacing around the house, bugging my dad, sitting outside in the fall leaves in a puddle of panic and tears and anxiety because my mom was out shopping for 2 or 3 hours longer than I expected her to. This was way before cell phones existed. And I remember, to my delight and relief, you know, her getting home and being so relieved that she hadn't died in a car accident or worse in those hours that I waited there in a panic. Our passage today is about waiting a little longer than expected. And there's a temptation that happens when you wait a little longer than expected, at least in the case of the story that we're going to read about this morning, and that is it's actually tempting to not get everything done that you need to do while you're waiting. So I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read these words of the Lord together from Matthew chapter 25 as we continue our adventure in the life of Jesus, working through the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus tells another parable. Hear these words of the Lord. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." When all those virgins rose and trimmed, then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are running out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray again together. And so this morning we ask you, Father, for your help in this text, Lord, we ask you that you'll give us eyes to see wonderful things here, ears that can hear them, hearts that are soft to receive them, taste buds that can savor the grace and truth here, and the will, the power to take action in light of what has been said by the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Now, in the last couple sections of Matthew, the Christ, we're told, arrives at surprising times. In the story, the brief story of a thief being surprised in the middle of the night, by the master being surprised in his house by a thief showing up in the middle of the night, or even by those who were surprised by the flood in the time of Noah. And then last week we saw a master who arrived earlier than his wicked servant expected him to arrive. The master arrives earlier than expected and interrupts him in his wicked behavior, his poor and wicked stewardship of the house that the master had put him in charge of. And in today's parable, what we see is a groom. The parable of a groom who is delayed. A groom who comes a little bit later than expected. And it seems that what Jesus wants here for us is to, you know, he has said, you will not know the day or the hour in which the Christ returns, in which I will return. And he's really throwing them all sorts of curveballs. He's going to come early. He's going to come late. He's coming. He's going to surprise in the middle of the night. You won't know. And the point of it all is he wants you to not let your guard down. He wants you to be watchful. He wants you to be ready for him and to be faithful doing what you're supposed to be doing during that time between his going and his return. Now let's look at this parable before we make some application of it to our lives. In today's parable, this groom, he comes, like I've said, he comes later than expected. And what is he coming to do? He's coming to collect his wedding procession. He comes to gather the 10 virgins, or these 10 bridesmaids, these 10 young women who are friends of the bride. In an ancient Israelite village, a couple, an engaged couple to be married, would parade through the streets, often in the night, with lanterns, like serving as torches, that would light the street as they would go from the bride's home to the groom's home. And naturally, just like in our time, a bride would go with, the bride goes with the groom, so does a group of young women, the friends of the bride. And this story is really about the friends of the bride, these young women, these virgins, or you could call them even bridesmaids. And that's what I'll call them most of the time, bridesmaids. These bridesmaids would carry with them these oil-lit lamps that would serve as torches in the night as they paraded through the streets. And you can imagine that this would be kind of a cool thing to take part in. This would be an exciting thing to take part in. You know, you can imagine growing up seeing these kinds of events happen in your village. And if you're a young girl, looking forward to the day when that is going to be you. Or you will take part in several of these kinds of this aspect of the ceremony that's really neat. It lights up, all these lights light up the village in the night. You know, they didn't have all the spectacles that we have today. This would have been in and of itself an exciting spectacle to take part in and behold in its time, especially for the little kids in the village, I'm sure, but for everybody as the parade through the street, the procession would happen. And the parable is about these women who are at the bride's house waiting for the groom to come and get them before the parade through the streets. And you get this picture that they're there, all of their lamps are lit, and they're waiting, and then they're waiting, and then they're waiting. A little bit longer, he is delayed. And, you know, who knows what he's got going on. The parable doesn't tell us, but he's delayed. He doesn't come as soon as they expect. And this apparently was, they should have budgeted a little bit for this, because at least 5 of them have extra lamp oil to keep their lamp lit into the night. They would have needed an extra supply of oil in order to get through the night without their lamps going out, especially during the parade in the streets. I mean, that's, of course, the highlight. That's, of course, the highlight and the purpose of carrying the lamps. It's a part of the ceremony, and it's a part of the excitement. And 5 of these bridesmaids do a good job of preparing for this event. And then there's 5 who are called foolish, foolishly underprepared. It says in verse 2 through 4, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Now, if you've taken part as a young person in your 20s or something like that, you know what it's like for some of the groomsmen or some of the bridesmaids to be more ready than others. You know, some have been, done it before, and they know the ropes. Or, and the groomsmen are there trying to figure out, like, on the spot how to tie their ties. Or, you know, like, they've never dressed up before a day in their life, and all of a sudden they're getting dressed up. And you kind of feel foolish if you're not prepared. And so the picture here is not actually that unfamiliar to us if we've taken part in ceremonies like this before, where you feel inadequately prepared if you haven't thought these things through or asked for advice and been prepared well for them. So five of these bridesmaids are foolish and five of them are wise. And so in verse 5, we find the bridegroom is delayed long enough that the girls fall asleep in waiting. It says in verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. They all became drowsy and slept. Now, it might be wrong to fall asleep in another part of the Bible. You get the sense that the owner of the home should have been prepared earlier in chapter 24. He should have been awake, ready for the thief to come in the middle of the night. But here, nobody's really in trouble for falling asleep. That's not where the blame is. Everybody falls asleep. They get drowsy and they fall asleep, and there's really no blame in that, as far as I'm concerned. Nobody's wrong. Nobody's doing anything wrong or foolish and taking a nap as they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. After all, there's somebody there who can just say, "Hey, everybody, let's go." The trouble is that it's long enough that those who are unprepared, their lights begin to go out. Their lights begin to go out. And so in the middle of the night, there's a cry. It says in verse 6, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And so it's at this point that the five of the young women turning to prepare their lamps, or all 10 of them turn to prepare their lamps. They trim their wicks. There was something that you would have been doing to kind of prep your wick. So your wick, you probably pulled it out a little more or something like that, trim it up, and to get it ready to be lit again or replenished with oil. And then that's where the five realized their plight. Wait a second, I've burned through almost all of the oil. We're not going to make it to the groom's home. Our lights are going to go out, or they're going to grow too dim. It's not going to work. And so what do they do? It says in verse 8 that the foolish say to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." So seeing the trouble they're in, they ask those with extra to share with them. But the wise bridesmaids only have so much oil, and it's not enough to share with the others. And so the wise answer them in verse 9, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." Now, it's possible that traders could have, remained up in, available in the middle of the night. They know, in a small town, they know that there's a wedding going on. And so you might think, like, man, it's like the middle of the night. Who's going to be open? But it's possible that traders would have been, because of events like this, would have been awake in the middle of the night, ready to, sell a little oil. It's also possible that, these girls would have had to go knock on somebody's doors. We don't know. The point is not necessarily all the details. It is a parable after all. But this is a little bit of a window into this ancient world and this process of a wedding. We don't know much about weddings from the ancient world, but these are some of the details of what would happen. Whatever would have happened, it's important what's important is that they missed their opportunity to join in the wedding. It's important to notice that they missed their opportunity to join in the wedding because they were not properly prepared. By the time they returned from going off to get some oil, the wedding party had already gone into the home of the groom. And in verse 10, it says that while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And it's here that Jesus is going. He's now getting to the point of what he wants his disciples to hear. It says in verse 11, "Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." And then Jesus, you know, throws in essentially what this, you know, like kind of the moral of the story, the moral of the parable. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is, he's repeating what he has been saying to them, but he's putting a little different nuance to it to help them to be thinking even more deeply about these things. "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Now this is, if you know the Gospel of Matthew, you'll know that this should remind, or this should remind you of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Does anybody remember Matthew chapter 7? Verse 21 through 23, Jesus talks about those who would prophesy in his name and even heal and cast out demons in his name, but who didn't truly actually know him or actually do his works. In Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, we read this, and Jesus here uses this "I never knew you" language for the first time in his gospel. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and did many works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" this is an uncomfortable passage, you know, both the Matthew 7 passage and the Matthew 25 passage. They're some of the most disturbing and upsetting verses in the New Testament, I think. And the reason for that is because you have, in both cases, people who thought they were in who are excluded. People who thought they were a part of the people of God who are excluded from the kingdom of heaven. And both of them are told, "I never knew you. I never knew you." And so I believe that the main thing here for us that we're supposed to take away from this is, don't be a foolish bridesmaid. Don't be a foolish bridesmaid. Don't take knowing Jesus for granted. Now, there's a few things that we can extrapolate from this basic principle. The first is that this parable is a warning to those who believe themselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ, but who have not been genuinely converted. And so it invites you to ask of yourself, are you genuinely converted? A person may have the outward appearance of one who is going to the marriage supper of Christ, just like these bridesmaids, they would have looked like they were headed to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the reality was they were unconverted. A lot of people think that that the oil represents is, like, you know, parabolic to represent the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's very possible that that is the case. That they're not truly regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They have not been born again, and the oil possibly represents that. It's a parable, and Jesus doesn't fill in all the cracks for us in unpacking it for us. And so, but certainly, what you have here at the end of the story are those who thought they were in, but they weren't actually in. They weren't actually those who had truly taken part in knowing the Christ. And so this really serves as a warning. It's a disturbing reminder to us that not everyone who professes to be a Christian is indeed a Christian. And so it provokes us to reflect upon ourselves, to test ourselves, to audit our lives, to audit our hearts, and to see if there are signs of genuine conversion within me, within you. To test ourselves, to see if we are in the faith, properly prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When was the last time you asked yourself, am I genuinely a Christian? Am I demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit? Have I truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, there's another thing here that is helpful, and that is, or another takeaway for us, is that Jesus is teaching that while the wait may be longer than some expected, he will come again. And when he does come, it will be too late to repent. When he does come, it will be too late to repent. The door will be shut, and it will not be reopened. And five of the girls were foolish because they refused to prepare themselves while there was still time. While there was still time, they refused. They didn't think to, or they were just so foolish that they did not prepare themselves for the coming of the groom. And so the door is shut before they are ready, even though they had adequate time to prepare ahead of time for this. Perhaps you have felt the prodding of the Word of God to take, you've been prodded by the Lord, whether it's by the reading of His Word, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit or something, to take these things more seriously, to take knowing God more seriously. You know, maybe you've thought to yourself, man, I really need to take knowing God. I take it for granted too much. I don't think about it enough. It's not a part of my life the way I really know it's supposed to be. And you've thought to yourself, man, I really should get serious about this. It's not wise to put off responding to that. That prodding of God. It's not wise to say, tomorrow I'll get to that, or the next day I'll get to that, when the Lord is calling us to repent. It's foolish. Now's the best time. The moment that you have right now is the best time to pursue the Lord. It's foolish to do otherwise. Now is the day to take these things more seriously. Now is the time to confess your sins. Now is the time to become a genuine, real follower of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to stop pretending. Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to prepare for His return. It's not next year. It's not next month. It's not even tomorrow. It's today. It's this moment. Now's the time. He may very well may come at midnight. You don't know the day or the hour. That's how he summarizes the parable. In other words, you might say, he's a long way off. No, you don't know the day or the hour. You might think, you know, the signs are there. Things are really bad, but it's not as bad as it could be. Maybe I have a few more years. He might come at midnight. You might think to yourself, you know, like, if I could just talk to this friend and they can help me work through these things, forget the friend. Deal with Jesus now. You don't need an intercessor. He is the intercessor. Now's the time to come out and to stop pretending and to prepare for the return of the groom. You don't know the day or the hour. Now's the time to make things right with God. Now's the time to be back on track. Now's the time to abandon the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now is the time to abandon being foolish, childish, and lazy about your relationship with the Lord. Now, today is the time. A third thing to think about here is to look at how these young girls turn to the five foolish ones, turn to the five wise ones, and they ask for their oil. And I think a principle to take away with this is, don't think that you can get salvation from another mere human. Don't think that you can like borrow salvation from another mere human. It can't be borrowed. It can't be traded. It can't be, the wise bridesmaids could not share their oil. The salvation of the one person cannot be transferred, moved, shifted, conveyed, transmitted, or given from one person to another person. Like the idea that these girls could share their oil with another. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven on the coattails of another person. Your life may benefit from their life because they are a Christian, but the groom, Jesus Christ, must know you individually. You, as an individual person, need to be reconciled to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't ride the coattails of your church, or your parents, or whomever into the kingdom of heaven. You can't borrow the oil of the Holy Spirit from somebody else. You have to come to know Jesus Christ yourself. R.C. Sproul writes this. He says, "We cannot share the Holy Spirit with someone who is empty of him." In other words, no one can get into the kingdom of God on the coattails of the one with genuine faith. Everyone must believe on his own. He cannot rely on his father's faith or his mother's faith or anyone else's faith. While we cannot ride the coattails of a friend into the wedding feast, we can come to think differently about the groom that this parable speaks of. We can consider all that he has done to make it possible for a person to take part in the wedding feast. Because at least the genuine Christian is not just a friend of the bride. A genuine Christian is not just a friend of the bride but a genuine Christian is one who is a member of the bride of Christ, the church. A genuine Christian is one who genuinely desires not just to get access to the house, right? They don't want to just get into heaven, but they want to know the groom himself. That's the most awful thing about the story is that the groom would say, "I don't know you." The genuine Christian desires to know the groom. J.C. Ryle writes this. He says, "Surely this is a blessed prospect. They shall be with their Lord, with him who loved them and gave himself to them, with him who bore with them and carried them through their earthly pilgrimage, with him whom they loved and truly followed faithfully on earth. Though with much weakness and many a tear, surely as is also a blessed prospect. Surely this is also a blessed prospect. The door must be shut at last, shut on all pain and sorrow, shut on an ill-natured and wicked world, shut on a tempting devil, shut on all doubts and fears, shut to be open again no more. Surely we may again say, this is a blessed prospect." You see, the return of the groom, the coming of the groom, is the very best thing that a true friend of the bride could ever ask for. To be with the groom, to be known by the groom, to be blessed by his kingdom, to be blessed by knowing him. One of the saddest things about this story is, and who knows why Jesus does this. Maybe it really is the case. But it should certainly get us thinking if we have not given any thought to these things before. What percentage of the bridesmaids enter into the wedding? It's just half of them. That's a sobering thing. So I want to invite you, if you really haven't given much thought to God, if you really haven't given much thought to these things, if you really haven't really truly dealt with the Lord, really truly haven't been walking with him, really truly haven't been pursuing knowing him, you haven't been prepared. You've grown truly lazy in your relationship with God, I want you to take some time today. I don't want you to, don't let the day end without doing this, without taking time to consider these things, to go home and to pull out this text again, and you and Jesus pray through it. You and Jesus deal with it. You go to the Lord yourself. You go to the groom yourself, and you say, where am I falling short in being ready? Am I presuming that I am the wise bridesmaid, or am I being foolish? If you are at all unsure that you are a wise bridesmaid ready for the return of Christ, don't go to sleep tonight without being reconciled to God, turning to God in a more concrete and honest way. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Let's pray. And so, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we may approach them together. And Father, for anyone here this morning that really has not been reconciled to you, that has not been regenerated by the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you to give them that precious gift, that you will truly fill up their lamp full of oil, so that they may, when the groom comes, be ready for him. Father, keep us from growing indifferent to you, indifferent to these things, lax in these things. Help us to be alert and awake. Help us to remember that Jesus called us to this. And so help us, Lord, to be a people who truly know that we don't know the day or the hour in which our Lord returns. We pray these things in his name. Amen.